Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
In Romans chapter 6, verses 8, 9, and 10, the Apostle Paul is dealing with the death of Christ and the resurrection of Christ and some of the practical and theological implications. And he starts by talking about our union with Christ in verse 8, and then he moves to the resurrection of Christ in verses 9 and 10, which says this: knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more, death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. And so this tells us that because Christ rose from the dead to die no more, the whole domain of death was broken for him. He voluntarily submitted himself to the domain of death. He became one of us. He took upon him Adam's likeness, the likeness of sinful man after the fall. The difference, of course, being that he himself inherited no sin and he himself committed no sin. But nevertheless, he was subject to death, as are all of Adam's children. And he took upon him our sins, and therefore the sentence of death was upon him, and he had entered into a mortal body that was able to die, and he underwent death. But having died, he rose again from the dead to die no more, and the dominion of death was therefore broken for him. And because he rose to die no more, he died once for all, is what we are told here. And that means, among other things, that the body and blood of Christ can never be offered again. It was offered once. Once for all. Once for all time. Never to be offered again. Christ cannot die again. Christ died one time. But what is so wonderful about this is that his death and resurrection from the grave is the guarantee of the continuation of our new life in Christ. Our life in Christ continues without end because Christ rose from the dead to die no more. So death has no power over him, and death has no power over those who share the life of Christ. If we have Christ's life in us, we cannot die. Now, of course, these mortal bodies that we inhabit will die, but we cannot die, and death cannot claim even our bodies forever. For when Christ returns again, the bodies of all his saints will rise glorified, never to die again. And so we have some wonderful guarantees that are all linked to the resurrection of Christ. Furthermore, Christ died to sin, that is, with respect to sin, in his relationship to sin. The end of his being in the realm of sin brought an end to death and an end to sin. He triumphed over death, he triumphed over sin. And because he did, then all of those who are joined to him, all of those who have the life of Christ in him, also die to sin and rise again from the dead, never to be conquered by death again. It's a wonderful thing. And that's why we read in Romans 6, 8, now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him forever. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. And so Christ's triumph over death assures our triumph over sin and death. Death could not conquer him. We remember that truth especially every year at the season that we call Easter. We sing songs about his triumph over the grave. Death cannot keep his prey. Jesus, my Savior, he tore the bars away, the prison bars of death that held him, that hold us. He tore them away. Jesus, my Lord, up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph o'er his foes, the foes of sin, the foes of death, the foes of Satan, the foes of the demons, the foes of any and all that would oppose him or that would hold him. He rose triumphant with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. He rose. Now my mind having interrupted the song, it doesn't flow as easily. Let's see. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. He arose a victor over over dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. See, there's where we come in, with his saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, he arose. Well, that's what Paul is talking about here. And so he talks about Christ's triumph over death in verses 9 and 10, and then he talks about Christ's reign with God in the last part of verse 10, when he says, but the life that he lives to God, or unto God. He lives unto God. That is, he lives unto the realm, the domain of God. He died to sin. He died to life that is conditioned by sin. He died to the life that's whose requirements are related to the domain of sin. He died to that. And then he arose triumphant over all of that, and he arose to God. That is, he arose to a life that is controlled by God. He arose to a domain that is completely controlled by God. No more sin. No more death. No more fear. That, of course, he didn't fear, but we do because of these things. But he rose victorious. He conquered all of that. Not just for himself. He didn't have to enter this in the first place if he were the only one that were in view. He never had to subject himself to any of this. He was above it. He was beyond it. He was beyond the reach of all of this. And yet he voluntarily entered into this domain of sin and death. For what reason? In order to secure eternal life and eternal triumph over sin and death for his people, for all of those who are joined to him by faith. And so the truth of the matter is that when Christ died, we too died to sin. When Christ arose, we too arose because we are in him. When Christ now lives unto God, we too now live unto God. We who are God's children, we who are joined to Christ in vital union by faith. Christ died to the burden and penalty of sin, and he rose to live and reign with God. And resurrection, therefore, marks the victory, his victory over sin and death. It marks the end of his conflict with sin. You say, did Christ wrestle with sin? Was he in conflict with sin? He was the whole time he lived upon the earth. It never conquered him. It did not defeat him. It did not claim him. He, by his life of perfect righteousness, triumphed over sin even while he lived, and then taking upon him our sins, he therefore came under the penalty of sin and the dominion of death, and he died to that, And that was his final conflict with sin. And vicariously, on our behalf, he surrendered to the penalty of sin. He seemed to have been succumbed to the battle with sin, and it looked like he had been conquered, but then, with a mighty triumph, he arose from the grave, he burst open the grave, he tore away the bars of sin and death, and that was the end of his conflict with sin. He left this domain, arising triumphant over it. He ascended back to heaven, back to where he came from in the first place, and back to his rightful place upon the throne of God, and to his eternal sovereign power over all of the universe and over all of life. He conquered sin and death by living in it without surrendering to it, without surrendering to temptation in any way. He conquered sin and death by submitting to its greatest power, namely death in his mortal body, dying on the cross. He submitted himself to the worst that sin and death could throw at him, and then he arose out of the grave, for death could not hold him. And Christ's resurrection from the grave marks his victory over sin and the end of his conflict with sin. And, dear friends, what Paul is telling us is that we die to sin when we die with Christ. Death is the gateway to life for the child of God. And we will reign forever without end. Christ's reign assures our reign. Christ's reign assures that we will live to God, even as he does. We must live to God, even as he does. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more, death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Now, what we have learned here is that we could not be an Adam, as we are, without the effects of that relationship affecting both our condition and our behavior, and it certainly does. But, dear friends, we cannot be in Christ without the effects of that relationship affecting both our condition and our behavior. What Christ did affects the lives of the people that he represents just as surely as what Adam did affects the lives of those that he represents. You cannot enjoy the benefits of Christ's death without also participating in the power of his resurrection. If you are in Christ, you are not the same as you were before you were placed into Christ by faith. You cannot be the same as you were before. Remember Lisa Smith, who got married, and the old Lisa Smith is now gone, and the new Mrs. Robert Johnson now lives in her place. She appears to be the same person, but things are different now, and that's a small illustration of what has happened when we were joined to Christ. That meant the end of our old life. That meant the beginning of a new life. And it is a life of ultimate triumph over sin and the grave. And that's the truth. That's the fact. Knowing these things, as Paul puts it in Romans 6:9, do you know these things? If not, if you don't know them personally, then fly to Jesus Christ for salvation. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.